You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church. If you don't know me, my name is Isla, and I'm excited this morning to be encouraged and challenged right along with you. I'd like us to start today by reciting my favorite prayer of faith from one of our family's daily devotionals called the Celtic Daily Prayer. So if you will, when it gets to the last line in each section that says, "Today I believe," why don't you recite that with me as we say this in faith together? So it starts, "Lord, you have always given bread for the coming day. And though I am poor, today I believe. Lord, you have always given strength for the coming day. And though I am weak, today I believe. Lord, you have always given peace for the coming day. And though of anxious heart, today I believe. Lord, you have always kept me safe in trials. And now, tried as I am, today I believe. Lord, you have always marked the road for the coming day. And though it may be hidden, today I believe. Lord, you have always lightened this darkness of mine. And though the night is here, today I believe. Lord, you have always spoken when time was ripe. And though you be silent now, today I believe." So today we've declared together that we believe. No matter what's happening around us, today we believe. Man, for me, those words are like aloe on a sunburn or like lemonade on a hot summer day. Last Sunday, I was chatting a bit with my friends Ben and Barbara Fliss, and we were just talking about the stress of life and how things just continually just bombard us, right? I'm sure a few of you know that feeling. There's always something or someone to fix. There's always somewhere to go. There's always some job to do. There's something that's draining your physical and emotional and even spiritual energy. I like to call this phenomenon the hamster wheel of death. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The hamster wheel of death. It's a race with no end, a path with no light at the end of the tunnel, a fast-moving wheel that feels like it's going to topple you or trample you if you try to stop or slow down. So the topic this morning gives us an antidote to the hamster wheel of death. It's a tool that can shut down the machine for a few moments and even a whole day, and it gives us space to center back on God and to rest in our Creator. So if you've been around for the last few weeks, you know that we've been going through emotionally healthy spirituality. So today we're going to talk about the daily office and Sabbath. Now for some here today, the daily office and Sabbath probably sound like a foreign language. So to give a short definition, the daily office is setting aside a few moments in the day to be with God through prayer and scripture. They're kind of like appointments, but more life-giving. And the Sabbath is setting aside one full day a week to rest and be with God. So in the EHS book, Scazzaro equates the daily office and Sabbath to a rope in a snowstorm. So when we're stuck in a snowstorm or even the hamster wheel of death, we try everything, but we can't seem to find our way out. It's a bit like being alone in a blizzard in the middle of Iowa. So a few years ago, my mom told her grandkids that farmers in Iowa, they would tie one end of a rope to the back of their house, and they would tie the other end of a rope to their barn, because it's all flat out there, and when these snowstorms come up, you literally cannot see your way home. You can't see your way from the barn back to the house. And it can be so disorienting that you can just walk in circles until you freeze to death, until something horrible happens because you can't find your way home. My mom went further to say that her neighbor once got lost in a snowstorm between his barn and his house. He was only in his 40s, he was healthy, but he never tied that rope from the barn to his house. And then 2 days later, after the storm, they found his body buried under the snow about 5 feet from his door. So he got lost in the storm. He had no rope to cling to, nothing to find his way home. And my mom said, even today, with GPS, with smartphones, farmers still tie that rope. They know that the storms will come, and they'll come fast, and a wise farmer is ready for them. A wise farmer prepares and then trusts that rope will lead him safely home. I think many of us have times like this farmer. We lose our way. We don't intend to, but the blizzards of life come around us and just blind us. They threaten to swallow us up, and we need a rope to find our way home, a rope that brings us back to what really matters. So in the EHS book, Scazzaro says, God is offering us a rope to keep us from getting lost. This rope consistently leads us back home to him, to a place that is centered and rooted. This rope can be found in two ancient disciplines going back thousands of years, the daily office and Sabbath. When placed inside present-day Christianity, the daily office and Sabbath are groundbreaking, countercultural acts against Western culture. They are powerful declarations about God, ourselves, our relationships, our beliefs, and our values. So the daily office is a very ancient practice. In monasteries, it would be these series of appointments with God through the day. It's spending time with God through prayer, through his word. Some people do it with the morning and the evening. When they wake up, they meet with God. Before they go to bed, they meet with God. For others, it's connected to food. At breakfast, they spend time eating, filling their body, and they also spend time filling themselves with the word of God. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some do 3 times a day. If you want to know a good way to guide you into this practice, Pastor Andrew has been doing a daily office online through Riverside's Facebook and Instagram, Mondays through Thursdays at 7:07 and 12:12, right? Okay. So that's a great way to start getting into that practice and to introduce it into your lives. In whatever way these moments with God are arranged in your life, the daily office is designed to spend time with a person, with God, our creator. Now, before you check out, before you feel I'm throwing another Christian to-do list at you, I want you to know that I don't have this all figured out. I don't have some perfect system where I meet with God. I think like everything in our life worth fighting for, it's a struggle. It's going to be a struggle between hard work, between planning, between effort, and between a lot of grace. Just yesterday, we decided we're supposed to be resting. It was our day of rest. But I saw this pile of cucumbers sitting on my counter, and there's nothing going on today. And I thought, maybe I could just make those into pickles. You know, Benji's here, the kids can be kind of occupied, but thankfully, I resisted that urge. But there's always that urge. There's always something that you can exchange that time with God for. You know, for our family, there's times where we're consistently meeting with God. We're doing devotions together at dinner time, and there are times where it takes all of our energy just to hold onto the rope and say, today, I believe. So no matter what the season of life you're in, setting our minds on the words of God has to be as core and vital as eating food each day. When I was growing up, daily moments with God were often called our daily bread. I think there was even a devotional or a little booklet called Our Daily Bread. And I think this metaphor comes when Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, and he was tempted to turn rocks into physical bread. So Jesus fought the devil by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, yes, God humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. But later in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Just as we need that regular food to keep our bodies alive, to survive, we need the words of God regularly put inside of us for our spirit to survive. Whether we meet with God in a prayer, through a poem, through a song, we have to have time of daily food with the scripture, with the word of God. Connecting through God with God through the day keeps our anchor steady. It reminds us that we belong to God, that our life, our breath, everything is only possible through him. And God is a generous father. His door is always open for us. It doesn't matter the time of day. It doesn't matter. He's never too busy for us to meet with him. But we have to take the time to tie that rope there. In the Bible, we can point to the daily office through the prophet Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day, or through King David, who set aside 7 times a day with God. In Psalms 119, David shows that in the darkest times, God's word was his rope and his hope. King Saul has just stolen his wife. He's taken away his position. He orders his murder. And David holds to the words of God. His hope and his strength to survive come from the word of God because that is his life. God's word is his daily bread. Now, we aren't going to read this entire amazing chapter, but we're going to pay attention to Psalms 119, how David clings to the word of God. So imagine him speaking this in the middle of a snowstorm or a sandstorm, since he's in the desert. He is lost. He cannot see the way out. But the word of God is a rope that he clings to. Psalms 119, he says, "I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes are straining to see your promises come true. When will you comfort me? I am shriveled like a wineskin in the smoke, but I have not forgotten to obey your decrees. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I've promised it once and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. I will praise you 7 times a day because all your regulations are just. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Let me live so I can praise you, and may your regulations help me. I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands." In a horrible storm, David clings to the rope of God's words, and he says, "Today I believe." David says, "I may be a lost sheep, but I have not forgotten who the shepherd is. And I will follow the shepherd's voice and hold tight to every word and every truth that comes from God, my Savior." So besides daily office, the other rope that helps us get through the storms of life, that helps us step off that hamster wheel, is called the weekly Sabbath. God celebrated Sabbath from the beginning of time. He rested after creating the world. Then the Sabbath was established again after God freed his people from slavery. He wanted his people to rest from work. He didn't want them to act like slaves again, working endlessly, busy, distracted. No, we are made in the image of God. We need to work hard, but we also need to rest and be present with him. We need to enjoy the life he's given us, and enjoy the relationships around us. In Exodus 20, God commands his now freed people, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. So of the top 10 commandments that God gave his people, the most time is spent on the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. God reminds us that, yes, he worked with power and creativity and genius to create the world in those first 6 days. But after making humans, he rested from his work. God set aside a holy day to just be present with his creation. And it is a day for us to be present with our Creator. Our God rested. Jesus rested. We are told to rest. Now, for some reason, our modern Christianity really seems to struggle with Sabbath rest. The to-do lists, the activities, they seem too important. I know for our family, the last 20 years, working for the church has oftentimes felt more important than rest. But ever since we read EHS the first time 3 years ago, our family has been really striving for a weekly day of rest. When we don't take time to rest, we're less patient, we're less kind, we're less slow to get angry. When we don't rest, we don't live in the peace and joy of God that are so often promised in the Bible. So taking a Sabbath each week is being like our Creator. It's a day to enjoy being together and being alive. Now, we do have to be careful, because in the New Testament, the Pharisees clearly used the Sabbath as a legalistic weapon. It was not a blessing for them or the people, but they were using it as a weapon to kind of control people and decide who's holier than whom. Yet, the Sabbath remains. The first followers of Jesus observed the Sabbath. In Acts, more people learn about Jesus because Paul and his companions are taking a Sabbath day. In Acts 16, it says, "On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. We sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized, and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed." So on the Sabbath, the Apostle Paul was not making his tents. He wasn't cleaning his house, dare I say, mowing his lawn. But he was going to a known place of rest and prayer, the riverside. By being fully present with God, with creation, with other people, Paul had the space to talk to Lydia about the true path of life. Lydia now knew who Jesus was, because people who were filled with the Spirit of God were gathered at the riverside to Sabbath. Taking a Sabbath each week allows us to participate in the kingdom of God. Just like communion, we take communion every week to remind ourselves of Jesus' sacrifice. The Sabbath should also be a regular reminder of our present and future rest with God. God's rest was there all the way from the beginning. It's still here now, and it's waiting for us in the future. Let's not miss out on this blessing that was created for us to enjoy. The Sabbath is a rope right now that we can grab onto to help get through the storms of life, to find our way back to all the blessings of God. One book that gave me strength to fight for a Sabbath day each week is called The Noonday Devil. It deals with feelings of weariness, burnout, emptiness that can weigh heavy on a Christian at times. One passage reads this: "So it is that we can seek in activism and overworking a secret pleasure, as though we need to cram our schedules full in order to have the feeling of being alive. Time free of a useful, profitable occupation makes us uneasy. Therefore, we fill it up as to dispel the anxiety of emptiness. To agree to devote time to something gratuitous, prayer, spiritual reading, friendship, it helps us let go of that illusion that we control our lives, and it enables us to wait humbly and confidently for God's gift. This is the meaning of the Jewish Sabbath and the Christian Sunday, which punctuate each week by reminding man that his work does not find its accomplishment in itself, but rather awaits it from God. Once his work is done, man is called to open himself up to praise and thanksgiving. You see, our extreme busyness for God, for our families, for our jobs, it is not some spiritual sacrifice or heroism. It is actually a sickness. It's an illusion, an addiction. We're addicted to tasks, productivity, escaping reality with entertainment. So refusing to Sabbath is a pride that says, we know a little bit better than God. The world actually cannot function without us, right? That house, it's going to decay in that one day that you leave it go. Everything is going to fall apart. Somehow we think that we can still be spiritually and emotionally healthy without following commandment number 4. And I don't think my family is the only family that struggles with this. But if we don't take a regular Sabbath, it's like we're enslaving ourselves and we're separating ourselves from that peace and joy of God's presence. The good news is people can be set free from slavery to activity. Our freedom was purchased by a creator who says, "You are no longer a slave. I have delivered you. So enter my rest. Enter it right now. Enjoy the freedom I have given you." My friends, it's time to take off the chains of activity. Step off the hamster wheel. We need to set aside time to live in the freedom and rest of our Creator. So in our crazy blizzard of a world, I think God is calling us to grab onto him daily and to rest in him weekly. Now, tie these ropes all throughout your life. Trust that they will guide you home. Hold to God's word, his peace, his promises in the middle of the storm. This is what it's like to be made in the image of God. You work passionately, trials will come, but you also grab hold of that word, grab hold of that truth, and you rest passionately as well. And that is a good thing. If you want to be a good parent, rest. If you want to be a good boss, friend, coworker, human, rest. If you want to be a good follower of Jesus, rest in him. Put it on your calendar. Make it a divine appointment to be surrounded by his presence and by his truth. So in a few moments, the band's going to come up and we're going to sing more songs of praise to our God and center our focus on him. Today is a divine appointment. We set it aside each week to worship, to be thankful, to be present with God and his people. Communion is also a divine appointment that we participate in every week. We drink the red juice that reminds us that our failures, our sins, they are covered. They are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We eat the bread to remind us that Jesus put on human flesh and he suffered through death and through all the storms this life could throw at him, so that we could gain new life with him, so we could find our way home. So today as we worship, feel free. There's communion in the back. There's communion up in the front. Come and get it when you are ready to take it. And remember what God has done for us. Remember that he's here with us right now. You can grab that rope and step a little closer to him, a little closer to home. Let his words and his presence fill us today and revive us like daily bread. The Spirit of God is with us now, and He is connecting every part of our lives to our Creator. We just need to hold tight to that rope of God's presence and truth, press on, and we'll make it safely home. We're going to end with a prayer of blessing, also from the Celtic Daily Prayer. The band's welcome to come back up and get ready. So this blessing says, "May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever He may send you. May He guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May He bring you home rejoicing at the wonders He has shown you. May He bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors." Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.